This Must Be the Place by Kelly Quindlen. Read by Piper Goodeve. 1. Rustin. They really, truly had Uncle George entombed in a trophy case.
I thought my father was joking, Dad said,
coming to an abrupt halt in Grandma and Grandpa's foyer. We had only just walked through the front door, exhausted and hungry and ready to get this over with. But the large, imposing green urn stopped us both in our tracks. It was impossible to miss, glittering on the highest shelf of the glass display cabinet, like a king atop his throne, lording above the dozens of trophies and plaques that made up his subjects. In a break from routine, Grandpa had even left the display case open, almost like he wanted to ensure we would see its newest prize. Because Grandpa, no doubt, considered his famous brother's ashes to be a prize. Just an hour ago, Grandpa had called to ream us out for missing the wake. His sharp voice had crackled through the stereo in Dad's truck, steamrolling us when we tried to explain that we had every intention of being there. But my flight had been delayed by the thunderstorms, and Dad had waited at the Birmingham airport for 2 hours, and then we'd still had to drive the hour and 15 minutes to Rustin. And hadn't he gotten all our texts about this?
I don't have time to check your messages, Grandpa had snapped. I'm tending to the dead. I've got to put George with his trophies for the night.
Dad and I had been too frazzled to take this literally. We should have taken it literally. I dropped my travel backpack, tied my new Yukon hoodie around my waist, and stared at the elaborate urn containing all that remained of my great uncle. Honestly, I said, keeping my voice low, I'm just shocked they haven't had him stuffed and mounted.
Louisa, Dad chided,
but his heart wasn't in it. He had been vacant and withdrawn the entire ride from the airport. What? They could have decked him out in his old football jersey and made a real show of it. I waited for the trace of a smile to appear on Dad's face. We had always been able to bond over Grandma and Grandpa's deranged antics. But he merely sagged his shoulders and gazed upon the urn like a lost little boy. I couldn't blame him. Uncle George had been Dad's favorite person in the world. And now he wore his grief like a layer of rainwater from the storm outside.
Let's hope it's temporary, Dad said finally. I'm sure they'll find a better resting place after the funeral.
Doubt it. Grandpa will probably sell tickets, set up red carpet ropes right here in the foyer. My grandfather had long been obsessed with his younger brother's football career. He and Uncle George had grown up right here in small town Alabama, tussling in the backyard until the day Grandpa tore his ACL. After that, Grandpa had poured everything he had into coaching his little brother, and eventually it paid off. Uncle George became the most successful quarterback in Rustin University history, and the only Rustin player to have a career in the NFL. When his NFL career ended with a knee injury, he returned to Rustin and built up a real estate empire that cemented his status as a local legend. Even when his hair turned white, people still saw him as the Golden Boy. Grandpa always told the story like it was his own triumph, as if he had formed Uncle George out of clay and molded him into the exact football god he himself wanted to be. Now he curated this display cabinet to show off Uncle George's trophies, medals, newspaper clippings, and even a former uniform, all of it a testament to Grandpa's impact on his brother's success.
That you, finally? A grating voice shouted. About time. Speak of the devil, Dad mumbled.
He picked up the to-go bag from Tambry's Cafe and followed the sound of Grandpa's voice to the kitchen. Literally, I whispered, because I fully expected my grandparents to give me hell about something entirely unrelated to missing Uncle George's wake. I took a deep breath and willed myself to walk to the kitchen. The collision between my old and new lives was about to begin. The thing no one tells you about